does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun with the ocean and mountains.
Aloha and welcome to Mauitopia, and your host, Ari Kopelman, has spent 25 years helping companies develop technology rapidly. He's lived on Maui for 20 years. He founded a management consulting firm in 1992 in Northern California. Global Brain taught clients worldwide his QRPD, Quality Rapid Product Development methodology. This resulted in companies thriving through developing products in half the time, at half the cost, with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit. A former Silicon Valley executive as vice president of engineering, Ori helped Mountain Computer grow tenfold in 6 years to $120 million in annual revenue. He taught QRPD at Stanford University's Continuing Studies Program and at the University of California Berkeley Extension for 15 years. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical and Computer Engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Having grown up in Ann Arbor, freezing Michigan, and in Israel, Ori speaks English, Hebrew, German, and French. He was a high school state tennis doubles champion, and Ori spent a decade with the Rotary Club of Maui. He also chaired the page turn polling station in Kula for several elections. Ori is engaged in personal growth since 1990, including meditation, and believes in transformation through heightened awareness. He attends Grace and Unity churches and lives with cats Eva and Calvin and Kahului, Maui. Aloha, Ori.
Aloha, Cindy. Thank you so much. This is my co-host, Cindy Paulus, who just read my biography. And as you guys know, this is the Mauitopia show, and I'd like to read a definition of what it is that we're trying to create here. Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization, a place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community, a place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future. Today's show is called Time, Illusion or Reality. And we're going to talk about it, and later in the show we'll take your calls as well. Is time real, or is it an illusion? So, let's start first with the illusion of time.
Okay.
And in many of my spiritual teachings, they say, hey, all that exists is the moment, right now.
Right now.
Everything else is
an
illusion.
The eternal now.
The eternal now, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, does time really exist?
Which gets into very deep physics, and of course some very interesting movies have been written just about that concept.
Such as?
What's that one? What the Blog Do We Know? Was that, What the Bleep Do We Know? And some others, and yeah, really address this with some very interesting people involved in the higher sciences, which you have a lot more experience in than I do.
Which on some level, it's true, I guess, in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as aloha time, I've been on Maui for 20 years,
different
right?
Different time, right?
Yes.
Different clock.
And maybe it's not quite spiritual time, but when I first came to Maui, I asked them, well, what time is the party? And people said, well, as long as there's still food, you're not late.
I love that. That's a great, great definition of aloha time. But I'm one of those people that, just like you, I think that I always like to be on time. But I have to say, I don't know if we can talk about time without also bringing in space, because I think time and space really do go hand in hand. And it's an element that's very hard to separate.
Well, that's what Einstein's theory of relativity shows, right? Mm-hmm. That time and space are related.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to limit this program today to just time.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we've talked about the spiritual or non-real quality of time, the eternal now,
mm-hmm.
which on one level is real. However, there's also a reality of the planes leave at a certain time.
Yes, yes, they do. Or they don't, actually, depending on where you're at, the plane you're taking.
If you're in the Midwest,
yes.
Especially now, there's some weather situations.
Right.
However, I'm proud to say that in the 1.2 million miles that I have flown, I have never missed a flight.
Yay.
That is
something you should get some kind of award for.
Well,
there should be awards for that.
Well, thank you. And that's because I am very early. Now,
yeah,
some
I am too.
Yeah, my ex-wives, girlfriends.
Maybe it's a February 15th thing.
Maybe, yes. Cindy and I have the same birthday, which is coming up soon.
I hate being late.
Yes, me
too. I mean, really, I actually get upset with, I have some friends I love, but they're always late.
Right.
Always.
Yes, including my wives, ex-wives, and current one.
Is that why they're ex?
No.
Oh, no.
I call up my wife Mrs. Later. No, and it's true. I mean, when she has to be someplace at 1 o'clock, a lot of times she starts thinking about leaving at 1 o'clock. Whereas for me, like, I came to the radio station, and probably I was here, like, 20 to 1, because I knew the show started at 1.
Right.
So I, a lot of times, end up having to sit and wait, but I would much rather do that and be thinking about what I'm going to be saying on the air than be nervous about the fact that I'm going to be late.
Well, but the other side of that, which helps me to have compassion for it, is part of my almost obsession with being on time, and because I always want to be on time, I am also usually early, is partly because I don't do well with stress, and I'm one of those people, if I'm going to be late, I get very stressed out. And, of course, I wrote the book, you know, the Travel Angel Handbook. That's a major component. If you're going to be already stressed with travel, be it time travel or other kind of travel, you really are going to go through stress anyway. There's enough stress that happens where if you add on additional stress, it's overwhelming. Now, maybe people, or maybe even your ex-wives, didn't get so stressed out or aren't normally stressed, and so they
tend to be more relaxed.
Yes, and if you're relaxed, the other concept, I actually read an article about this, because I kind of wonder about these people who are always late and drive me a little to distraction because I'm there on time early, actually, sometimes holding seats for them, and they show up maybe a half hour late, you know, and then everyone wants that seat if it's a sold-out show, and they're down, not. But in situations like I read a book that said people who really think of themselves as very important or the most important usually do not think of other people or keeping other people or think they're not as important. So they're in their own world and think they're more important, so then they sometimes show up late. I don't know if that's always true.
Partly true in some cases.
In some cases.
I don't think, for example, in my wife's case, that's true. As some of you, the listeners, know, there have been football games that have been won and lost by 1 second.
Absolutely.
I think it was.
And that's when the excitement level builds to a frenzy.
Yes, where I think, was
the 49ers were, I mean, always down to that last couple minutes, 2-3 minutes, right?
Right.
You know, you always thought, well, they still have 2 minutes. They have 1 minute.
What was that game, though, that had, it was a matter of 1 second?
1 second, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the net.
Do you know Gary? Gary's our man. He
the did, football, yeah.
No, there have
It was
been.
A college game, actually, late in the year. One of the last, I think it was Auburn.
Oh, yeah, Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, Auburn, Alabama. Alabama was an awesome game, and it was
down to the second.
It was down to 1 second,
and
so,
of course the crowd goes crazy because
absolutely.
The thrill of just having a second.
It is very thrilling,
and there's extra adrenaline that happens when you're under the pressure, just because that also creates stress.
And so, I cannot totally accept that time is an illusion, because again, here was a football game that many people, including myself, got very excited about.
Yeah, but time is relative.
Relative. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Now we're back to Einstein again.
Oh, but it is. And Einstein was on to something. I mean, this guy was so brilliant, you know.
Well, that's why they say he was the smartest guy of the last century, right?
I don't know if I'll go with that, but that, you know, certainly was the one we knew about. I'm sure there's lots of beautiful mind people out there that you are in colleges. We have no awareness that never reached the status or can't deal with being famous. He was unique in that he was brilliant and able to deal with his personality of being famous. I think there are many, maybe, dare we call them nerds or people who are brilliant out there who really do not want and can't sometimes relate to the average person, so they kind of keep to themselves.
That's true.
And he was unique in that he was able to express himself and communicate with a sense of humor, and to the point where we wear his T-shirts and see his, have his posters and everywhere. But time is relative, because I was talking to you actually a little before we start. I mean, when you think about the lifespan of a rock versus right. the lifespan of a whale versus a lifespan of parrots can be up to 100 or 125 years versus the lifespan of all these different beings. People have various lifespans. Dogs have a short lifespan. Cats have a short lifespan.
Right.
So when you hear people say, "Well, how old is your dog?" and you say, "Well, in human years,"
you're right.
Right? In human years, he would be. But you can't do that because we relate to people in our years. But everyone has various lifespans. So what makes a young person versus what would be a dog being 1 or 2 years old is very different, or you could have a thoroughbred racehorse racing the Kentucky Derby at 2, where if you can't imagine a person running an Olympic marathon at 2. But that's the same if you look at relatively.
Right.
We're talking about that.
Yes.
That is based on our given life cycles in life, in my opinion.
Yes, so
this
there is
all my opinion. I don't have to say that every time, okay?
Okay. You're cleared on that.
Okay.
Even though you are being recorded, as you know.
Right. It's still my opinion for the entire thing.
Right. I used to be called by a lot of people, including my ex-wife, that I go by Swiss time.
Exact precision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if the train leaves, it's supposed to leave at 1 o'clock, I will be there at 12:45 because I know the train will pull away at 1:00 and it's not going to wait for myself or anybody else.
Right. But on top of that, now there's people, of course, who do military time, and it feels different saying
that's
it's 1400.
Kind of yeah.
1400 doesn't quite, to me, feel the same as 2 o'clock. If we were to go right now to Alaska or the North Pole, you'd be having a very, very dark day with
right.
only a very short span of light. And so it feels different also when you go in the summer and the sun doesn't set till maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. Your day feels much, much longer, even though
right.
it's supposedly the night. But that's based, again, we bring in light here, which I think is another element of space and time,
mm-hmm.
is light.
Mm.
Light it affects the way we feel. It affects our feeling of what we want to go do based on the amount of light we have out there.
Yeah, and the people always ask me if I ever came up with a way to overcome jet lag, given that I've flown 1.2 million miles. And the answer, unfortunately, is no.
But they're working on that.
I've tried all kinds of things.
They have a new product out.
Yeah, and I know, and they've had many new ones, and
mm-hmm.
I've tried all of them. The only thing that did a little bit work for me is staying up during daylight hours,
yes.
no matter where I travel to.
Absolutely.
You
can be exhausted beginning
exactly.
after 24 hours
right.
of in it.
And
you
try
go to sleep when you get in. It may be 5 in the morning when you get in. It's 6 or 7 in the morning when you get to your hotel. I always, even if I have to book an extra day
yes.
when I'm traveling
yes,
and
exactly.
I get in, I always make sure I have a hotel just to get rid of the stuff, to wash my face, not to go to sleep, but to get back out again.
Right.
And it really does help.
Yes.
And that's another thing. If you're traveling, water from the place you're in really helps you attune to where uh-huh. you're at as well. Because water is a very important element of life, just as the air and the light and all the other aspects.
That's interesting.
Of being
I've never tried
life.
That. I always have bottled water.
I had a friend who was a she traveled a lot. She was a stewardess. We don't call them stewardesses anymore.
Flight attendants.
We call them flight attendants.
Yes.
But she swore that. That being in the water, the first thing she did would take a bath or get involved, that being in the water in the place helped her energy of her body be attuned to the place.
Interesting. I was thinking you meant being in the ocean.
It could be a bathtub or
yes.
a shower.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
that's
just the water. I mean, the water from your place is and you think about it, water tastes different everywhere, right? So,
yes,
of course,
absolutely.
It would have a little different.
Huh, that's an interesting idea, though.
Yeah, but there are these elements and light and time, I think, do relate to our state of consciousness. I was talking to a friend I hadn't seen in a while, Mary Omwe, who moved to Seattle to run the Unity Church there. And she could not handle it. And she literally found out she had SAD. You've heard
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is a reality.
Right.
SAD is when sometimes not everyone is affected by it. Mm. Obviously, there are places in the world people can live in Alaska in the winter. But in Seattle, she could not. She would get so heavy and so depressed, and it was so dark so early that she really affected her state of mind. Now, there are people who are very, very affected by, like, with this effect of SAD, that they will get depressed, very depressed. And I think we see people in the Midwest when they have to, and the people in the countries where it's snowed in and they have to stay inside, they go through all kinds of changes.
Oh, yeah, my mom hates it in Michigan where the skies are gray for months.
And
you
freezing.
Get only a few hours of sunlight. It's just, she tries to escape it if at all possible, even though they've been living there now since.
And if they had more light in their day, of course it would help if it was warmer. I think there would be a difference in the time element of feeling that light and time.
Yes.
I think light and time do relate. I think light is different. Mm. If you look at paintings done from various places around the world, many artists say that they move to a place like Maui for the light, or they move to Paris for the light there.
And my parents, now that they're older, are fortunate that they can fly to places like Maui for a few days even.
Mm-hmm.
And that really...
Which, of course, when Canada and they come here. But so I just want to... I know it wasn't part of your original concept of talking about time, but I think light does make a difference. And you will also see when you see pictures of the cosmos or pictures from NASA or pictures, of Mars, that there are different elements of colors and light, sometimes not at all related to what we see in our world.
Right.
So I'm seeing galaxies that are pink and purple and beautiful and just really nebulae that are absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, the Hubble Space Telescope has gotten a lot of neat pictures recently.
They found one just the other day.
Yeah.
They found one. Did you see that? Where they got the furthest picture they've seen about... Yeah. And as they think the entire cosmos is actually held together with a web, almost like a gaseous intertwining element. Which again has light, but holding us all together as one, But of course, just like you would have in any black and white day and white, there's different cycles, I think, of time in other universes and realms versus our time here.
And that may be true.
I think there's a difference in time elements depending on where you are, what planet you're on, what universe and what solar system you're in.
Yeah, or what planet you think you live on. And the one I live on, let me give you another example of where the reality of the Earth plane is there is a primary election for government.
Yes.
Which, as many of you know, I'm Ori Copelman, and I'm going to be running again for mayor in the primary election.
So far, the only other person that's actually admitted that, besides Mayor Alan Arakawa, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, just you and Mayor Alan Arakawa. What a concept.
That is funny. And though, they haven't had an article out on us. No, actually, there was an
It was in Maui Times.
Maui Times, yes. Actually, they did call me for an interview. The primary election occurs on August 9. So all those people who think time is an illusion, I mean, they'll miss it,
Well, most of them miss it right now anyway. Unfortunately, it's one of my pet peeves is people don't get out and vote.
Yeah, we have such a small percentage of the population that votes, especially for the primary.
Partly because of the fact of time that everyone else in the rest of the country have already voted, and we start hearing some of the election results and some of the important national races. And so we don't necessarily feel our vote matters if we see that someone's so far ahead we're not going to make a difference, right? Yeah.
You know, one of the things I don't understand, because the primary is on August 9 and the general election is
November.
On November 4.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is the primary, it seems to me, got moved 1 month earlier than it used to be.
It does seem earlier.
I remember it used to be the third week in September.
It was. I wonder. I don't know why.
If there's anybody out there who knows why, I would really appreciate being...
Absentee people.
Oh. And we have quite a few.
Military and stuff. I think it's because of the... To get the more of the military and those kind of families that are students that are away, give them a chance to send in their absentee ballots.
So they have more time.
Yeah.
That would make sense, you know.
And the legislature actually had to vote on that, or is it, oh, okay, I missed it.
I'm one of those people who love to absentee, even though I'm not away a lot of times. A lot more people are doing absentee.
Absolutely. It's crazy to not do absentee. Mm-hmm. You know, this way you can slowly think about everything and read everything. And although I have met people who love going to the polling place.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you worked at the polling
place. I've worked at several elections. And there have been people who come in and go, in fact, I remember this one older gentleman who said, wow, I don't know any of you guys here. I used to know everybody here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and
so for them, it's like a social occasion.
And it is kind of an interesting tradition, you mm-hmm. know, to go down to your local polling place. It's a photo opportunity. I mean, you could go down and someone could take a picture of you voting for yourself. Right?
There you go. Yes,
it's definitely a photo op if you're running for an office that have the picture of the person actually doing it on the day of the vote to encourage other people to get out and vote.
Somebody actually encouraged me today to go to file for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
The date is February 3rd is the first time you can.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me, why don't you go make sure to be like the first one who files? And there's usually a photo op associated with that, with the Maui News or whatever.
I know the governor just started an ad campaign.
Hmm.
Governor Abercrombie just came out 2 days ago with his first TV ad campaign.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Election time is here.
Yes. There's already scrambling about it.
Yeah, I didn't even intentionally say that, but subconsciously I said election time. So there I go.
The
theme of the day. Is
the time. That was that great. We had some great songs we're going to be doing. And, of course, the first one that came to my mind, and I think you've got others in mind, is the Chamber Brothers. You ever heard the Chamber Brothers? Time. And it goes tick, 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 time. Great song about time. And, of course, the other, probably the biggest song about time was Pink Floyd.
Which is?
Time.
Oh, just called
Dark
Time?
The Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh.
It was the Dark Side of the Moon. There's
well,
a song.
Cindy, actually, when I was thinking about time, this is funny, but during my college years, while we were taking finals, for whatever reason, this song kept going through my head. And Gary is about to play it, so why don't we do that for a few minutes? Yes, Cindy.
Yeah,
it is Sticks.
And I actually,
how do you spell Sticks?
STYX.
Very nice.
But I hadn't heard that song before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, and I know my music pretty well, and I just
it's
don't.
It's a great song. It was recorded in 1981.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of that song, Time Waits for No One. Time Waits for No One. So many time songs, actually. And I was thinking also, it's interesting that the most expensive piece of item that men wear is a watch, usually. And it's become a status symbol. Now, it's also for women, but not so much because you can have a very, very impressive, expensive ring or a necklace or an earring. But it's pretty amazing what some of these, if you're important, the kind of watch you wear.
Yeah, when you work for a company for 50 years, you get
a watch, right? You get a gold watch, right?
Yeah, right.
And that is your status symbol for men is like how, you know, how important are you? You have a nice watch, right?
Well, when I've had like a $50 Casio watch.
Yes.
Computerized.
Uh-huh.
I came to Maui the very first time in 1992. I took a walk down the beach on the west side, and the watch dropped off my hand.
Wow.
Fell into the ocean, and a wave came in, and I tried to get it.
I took it.
I could not get it.
It was a sign.
So I was thinking, okay, something's going on here. It might be, okay. So the next time I came to Maui, which was a few months later, the same thing happened again.
That's amazing. That's
honest to God.
I believe you.
And so since that day, I do not wear a watch anywhere.
I never used to wear a watch, but when I started doing radio shows that were based on time, I had to get a watch because I would, you know, you're down to the second, down to the minute at least.
Yeah.
I get close, you know, close enough for rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because in rock and roll, it's a little just like aloha time. A little looser sometimes than time. But sometimes, you know, there's another word. I love that word, sometimes. It gives you the total wiggle room, right?
Right.
Of time. It's not all the time. It's some time, right?
So we're going to open up the phone in case somebody wants to call. And the number is 242-7800. Again, that number is 242-7800.
If you have a favorite time song,
that would be great to hear.
Any concepts of what time means to you? Anything. You know, it's really interesting because it also is interesting as far as time relatively. When I lived on the mainland, I would drive an hour. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes. There were times when I worked at K-Rock. I lived up in Topanga. It would take me an hour and a half to get to Pasadena, maybe twice that long because you're on the freeway coming back. So, you know, when you're in L.A., your commute time is very long.
Of course.
So you spend time. It's interesting you say you spend time, you know. You spend time doing something like listening to a book, an audiobook, or you spend time, you know, doing other things that you, if you can, which you know a lot of times you can with your car setup, you're able to spend your time doing other things. There's many more distractions. And when you're distracted, interesting enough about time, when you're distracted, have you ever noticed in a waiting room when you have maybe 2 hours to wait for a plane, right?
Yeah.
So what do people do? They spend their time on their computer or their iPhone or their cellular device, their smartphone, their Kindle. They spend time by being distracted. And if you think about it, in an airplane, what do you do in a plane? They get you distracted. As soon as you get on the plane, you start to get distracted with things. They try to get the, you know, they give you a drink, you know, and then they get the movie started, you know, and
not think about the fact that so much time is going to pass.
Yeah, the idea is you got to fill your mind with distractions,
yes.
So you won't really think that you're taking a 24-hour flight or a
6-hour
flight.
No, I was just going to say, what's the longest flight you've been on?
Well, you have that problem. You have to change flights. I mean, I've been on flights as long as the plane can fly, but then you're going to be on the ground and take others. I think going to Tibet and Kathmandu was a very long flight, but that was changing planes too. Yeah, no, that was here, and then I think stopping maybe in Japan. I can't quite remember.
Probably.
And then going to Thailand and then spending Thailand up to Kathmandu, because, you know, the longer the flight is. I mean, so I've done things that seem like they're maybe, if they're delays, a day and a half for sure. I mean,
I was still interested in what's the longest segment, because I think the longest one I've ever been on was
8 hours?
Oh, yeah.
9 hours?
I've been on a 14-hour flight from Australia, yeah.
Wow. Now, that is one of the longest, isn't it?
Australia to Los Angeles, yeah.
That is one of the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did
Australia to Los Angeles direct?
Yes. In fact, it was very frustrating, Cindy. I was on our flight from Australia to Los Angeles, they said, and below us are the beautiful Hawaiian islands, including Maui. And I was thinking, give me a parachute. That's where I was going. I was going to Maui through LA.
But that's a very good one for miles.
That's how I became a million mile flyer.
Yes, that's a very, and when I
didn't mind flying.
I don't know. You know, 14 hours on one plane is a long time.
Can you sleep on planes?
I couldn't used to sleep on time on planes. Now I won't take sleeping pills, but I will take it helps if I just take a muscle relaxant, because when I get tense, my muscles, and I get very tense in planes. And if your muscles are tight, it's very hard to sleep. So I'm able to now, but not well. I don't think anyone can well. You wear those little masks,
Yeah.
Why? Because they
light.
Black. It makes it black, yes. Rather than the light. Because your eyes in light aren't used to sleeping as much, right?
I even sleep at home with an eye mask.
Yeah.
Every night.
And I think you can sleep deeper with that, right?
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. And again, because we're sensitive to light, we can't ignore the fact of the dark and the light, and the dark was meant for sleeping, and the light's meant for being awake.
That is, from an evolutionary point of view, that is how we have been.
And
right?
Melatonin.
That should be in
melatonin
DNA,
as well.
DNA.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to be hunters and gatherers and farmers and things like that, and spend time outside, and when we were done doing that, we would go to sleep.
Now, I know you are very tied into the spiritual community here on Maui, and I don't think you even have to be part of the spiritual community to hear people say, where did the time go?
Yes.
Right? Where did the time go? As if it's going somewhere. I mean, how can time go? It's time, especially if you're always here. Time can't really go anywhere, but time does seem like, I mean, I can't believe it's already the end of January. We're looking at the fourth Friday in January tomorrow.
And we're in 2014. I can't believe that.
So time, a lot of people say, gosh, it just seems like time's going faster, or I don't have enough time.
Right.
I just don't have enough time anymore to do everything I want to do, right? How many times do you hear people say that? All the time, right?
I'd say more so these days even.
Yes.
And in that respect, in a way, we talked about this outside, but in a way, time seems to have sped up.
Yes. And there are those people who say in the spiritual community that it has, but this is my concept on it.
Okay.
My opinion on it is that
the disclaimer has been
given. Disclaimer has been given again that as we develop spiritually and as we get more evolved, we get into a higher realm of consciousness, that the physical plane is, as you know from George Harrison songs, we're living in the material world. We're living in the material. The material world is a gross, dense, thick, heavy, slow plane of consciousness. If you do any studies of Indian philosophy or anyone, they say that the physical plane is the slowest and densest. If you look at a rock, that's very, very dense. That's considered like the slowest. And so they're around for millions of years, right? Where people aren't, but a rock can be around for...
Spiritually, they might be, though.
Yeah, but they hold that.
Not in the physical dimension, right?
And so as you move up evolutionary in the ladder, I think that we actually see time changing. And on the astral plane, on the higher planes, and the higher realms, in the heaven plane, it said that time is very, very quick compared to the physical plane time. So as we, I believe, evolve evolutionary towards a more heavenly consciousness state, we are actually moving quicker while still living in the physical world that is moving slower. So you have this kind of push-pull of like our minds are going a million miles a minute, right?
In the spiritual dimension.
And the physical plane, it isn't going a million miles a minute.
I got to go run to the bathroom right now. I'm really curious if anybody out there thinks that time travel is going to be possible, and when? I mean, is it something that you think will happen in our lifetimes? I'm 53.
But if it was time travel, how wouldn't make a difference? Well, I mean, because if you were really time traveling, you would be able to go move from space to space, time to time, right?
Yes.
And so if we're not time traveling now, if you really believe it in the future, you know you'll be able to come back here if you wish to.
Well, I'm just surprised. I'd like if anybody has an opinion on this out there to call in and tell us about it.
But then there's there's been lots of movies. That one, what's his name? You know, what's the name?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the Future about the time travel. And then, of course, you think about what things you have to take into your consciousness. Like, are you going to upset and there's been some wonderful movies about that. If you go back and you bring anything from the future with you, and you go back and you change something that's going to happen, are you really changing the path of humanity and the what's going to be happening in the world? Are you really going to change? And what happens if you upset the natural destiny or course of something happening without knowing it's going to happen, right?
Which is, for example, in Star Trek, that's part of their rules, right? That you cannot alter the course of history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they can time travel. I have.
But how do you know if you're altering the course of history by being there, you know?
Well,
how can you not alter? If you're coming back and present in something, you're in a space that wasn't your space. You're taking up extra air. You're taking up, if you believe in the ninth monkey, is it the eighth? What is it?
The hundredth monkey.
Hundredth monkey.
Yeah.
You add 101 monkeys.
Yeah. You know how the hundredth monkey thing.
Explain it again. I know.
I don't remember exactly, but I think the idea was that something like there were monkeys on one island that were taught how to use a tool,
mm-hmm.
and the monkeys on the another island farther away somehow learned how to use that tool.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on that came the idea of the hundredth monkey, that mm-hmm. it took, you know, not just one monkey, but you had to have a larger number of them, and then they kind of got kind of like a group consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping that for human beings, one of the changes in our group consciousness will be evolving towards a non-violent world. And I've said this before on this show, which is that there will still be plenty of disagreements that amongst human beings we can have verbally and having arguments, discussions, but let's try to get rid of the physical part as far as wars, and not to have to, just because somebody, you don't agree with somebody, doesn't mean you have to kill them. So that's my point of view on where we're evolving.
Well, and I do believe in life on other existences and other worlds, not necessarily planets, but...
could there not be?
And I do think that we are, and I really had gotten some very deep, complete flashes about this sometimes, connections, that our planet is the most violent planet.
Oh.
That we are considered to be a very dangerous planet because basically there was a consciousness that came into the animal form, and the animal form sometimes will overcome the enlightened consciousness. Mm. So you have that battle between animal and not a pleasant animal and the higher consciousness being, you know, the you man, you know, and the you being spirit and man. So you have spirit and man combined, right?
Right. And these are interesting things to think about, because I think it is quite possible, I've given this lots of thought, that there are other civilizations in the universe who most people assume that they would be more evolved than ours. And that is a possibility, in which case maybe they have not even bothered to make contact with us because, like you said, we're not that evolved of a planet. On the other hand, it is also possible that these other civilizations are less evolved than we are. And so maybe they don't even have the ability. Like, they could have been, like, Earth was 50 years ago. We still didn't know about, let's say 100 years ago. We didn't know about communicating with other parts of the universe.
Well, you know, you'd have to kind of be able to take your Star Trek consciousness to travel around the universe. And again, you'd also have to define... And which is a very almost impossible thing to do, what evolved is. And I said evolved, but you know, if you're basing evolution on nonviolence, is that a definition? Or how would you develop who is more evolved? I mean, obviously we say we're more evolved than monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But if we see monkeys acting like we act,
violently,
we think there's something terribly wrong with them, right?
Right.
If monkeys were to start attacking each other all the time and creating wars and bombs, we would think it'd be just awful, right? If we had our dogs, you know, having race wars between dogs,
Well, I just look at human history in terms of my point of view on evolution. The fact is that most of the Western world, in fact, all the Western world, we don't have wars anymore. Now, we did in the past. There were tons of wars. And there are still wars on the planet, physical wars.
Terrible wars.
Terrible wars.
Look at Syria and the civil war there and what's going on.
Good example.
Terrible. Yeah.
Right.
Even in Russia, what they're doing with the taking over, I can't pronounce it. There's still a lot of violence.
And we're still very concerned for the Russian Olympics, which I'm very excited about, just because I like watching sports and Olympics, where there are a lot of nations who come together to just have fun, right? To compete athletically.
And we have to also, again, here's relative. I mean, most of us listen or watch the news, and what you hear about isn't the good news. You hear about the violence.
The
you hear about the terrible thing or someone getting shot. You hear about that.
Right.
And so, although you know, no one's gotten shot today on Maui. There's definitely someone that's got shot out there. And if you go to Chicago, you can be sure.
Horrible.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean,
murder a day.
Yeah, and it is terrible. And for me, and I totally, totally agree with you on this, Ori. I abhor violence. I abhor violence. I abhor hatred. I hate hatred. but no, yet be careful with that. But you know, this is a violent planet. It is a violent planet.
Yes, and that is because, really, there are over a billion people, which is the Western world, where we pretty much, amongst ourselves, we don't do violence other than criminals, right? And we all can look at it and say, hey, that is criminal behavior, and we will prosecute those people, put them in jail if they are found guilty. But that's not true for the rest of the world. And that's why it is a violent planet.
It is a violent planet, and I would say, evolutionary-wise, if you really do believe there was an Atlantis, or there was a Mu, or the Mu, if you do believe that there were other civilizations that destroyed themselves and their countries because of their violence, and I do think this has happened time and time again. We've been given many opportunities, and each time we seem to kill the people who come to kill the people who are the messengers who come to save us time and time again, because this is a violent planet, and people, a lot of times, I mean, just you try to tell the NRA to give up their guns and see what, if you get strong enough, you would just wait and see what happens.
Well, then they're going to talk about the right to bear arms. That's a very fundamental right in the United States, right?
And why do they want to bear arms?
To protect themselves and their family.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of fear. Because of the violence. And it's a never-ending spiral of people reacting violently because of the violence, right? And it just gets you nowhere.
Right.
Gets you nowhere.
I know, although I was thinking that in some, again, this may be, we haven't got any calls today, and I will repeat.
Yeah, I know, people driving, and I know, because I mean, the other day I was going to call, and I was driving, and I don't want to call when I'm driving, you're not really, you know. But it is 242-7800 if you want to chime in.
And we'd love to hear from you, but.
Yes. 242-7800. Or if you have a favorite time song. You want to sing I'm a few bars. There's been so many great time songs. But so do you think, what do you think about time and on other realms of existence?
My brain was thinking about the previous thing we were talking about.
The violence?
Was it violence? Is that what we were talking about?
Yes.
I was just making the point that, again, the way I'm discerning evolution is based on the fact that over a billion people on the planet don't do violence anymore with each other. Mm. You know, that wasn't the case in history. I mean, I've studied, like you have, I'm sure, lots of history where there were tons of physical wars, whether it's the Goths and the Italians or, you know, whoever is fighting each other, that pretty much doesn't happen anymore.
Well, you know what happened when, and I remember when they first started the think tanks, and I think it was in the 60s about Star Wars, when they all came up together and said, wouldn't it be great if we could not have people battle it out on battlefields anymore?
Right.
We could just have a star watching everything, and we could do it from a satellite. At that time, they didn't have the drones, but maybe they were in conception. So that was supposed to be, or the excuse for being able to develop Star Wars, is that we would then not be killing each other.
Here on Earth.
That didn't work yet, right? So now you have the drones going and killing more people on one side if you don't want to have the people killing. But those drones are still killing people on the other side.
In defense of those people who are in favor of drones, those people want to kill other people, like us, namely, right? And in fact, I remembered what I was going to talk about, too, which is some people also consider abortions to be violence because you're harming an essential defenseless, again, if you believe that the fetus is a human being, a live human being, if you have an abortion, that is harming that being. So from that standpoint, the Western world still does have violence, not against each other people, but against ourselves, like our own.
I don't think there's any doubt that this world still has a lot of violence, and I think it's going to take I think it's going to take longer than what you're thinking to get past it. And I'm a pretty optimistic person, but I think this world is I mean, maybe we'll all get into watching football and take our violent tendencies out in those games. There was a movie like that where they took it all out and everyone was able to see the people and the games be violent. Yes. That took out the violent tendencies, right, by watching a game.
I mentioned this before, that I think if we had an attack from outer space, then the planet would get unified.
Yeah, well, right now, aren't we in Russia joining together and saying, we're going to help you, Russia, if you need any help with against terrorism, we're going to join with you. And we're,
Which is really
a little bit upset because there was all that, you know, stuff going on that we haven't been supporting, you know. So supposedly, yes, that would maybe would be something where we would join together. But I don't think that could ever happen because I don't think we'd ever have violence from another planet.
Oh, why not?
Because I don't think other planets have
violence. Oh, you think they've all evolved. Okay.
I think if you've evolved yourself to the point where you can travel through space and time, that you are more evolved than we are. And in evolution, I do not think you will have violence.
Okay, well, like I said, that's one point of view.
Yes, my
and
point
it is
of
possible
view, yes.
that another planet could travel and yet could still be violent. Again, I don't have any proof of it either way.
But if you were really an evolutionary planet that was violent, wouldn't you, we know violence creates other violence, you would then have wars and violence in your own planet if you were a violent civilization, and then you would have the same thing happening where you could destroy yourself, and we have time after time, and how many civilizations have destroyed themselves.
Yeah, and we possibly are about to do it again, given that, in fact, that was one of the earlier shows where we looked at, we had just last century, right, we had World War One, where 16 million people got killed, then World War Two, where 33 million people got killed, and now people are talking about World War Three, and as you guys know, Iran is talking about developing a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I think North Korea we have more problems with, but that's just my opinion.
They've already developed it. And again, if these people were all being non-violent and friendly with us, there'd be no problem, and I'm hoping that will be the case someday, but it's not today.
And maybe in North Korea, basketball will save us in relationships.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman and that guy. Yeah.
He'll save the day. He's really probably working for the CIA, folks.
you know something inside that we don't know?
I don't think they'd allow him to go back and forth with like that unless they had him tuned into something. I'm sorry, I do not think our government would allow someone like that to go into North Korea and have that much impact if he wasn't under some influence.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? The way our government is knowing everything about everyone, you don't think they could have some device plan in where they're seeing what's going on through him or something? Nah, it's like,
hard to say, I don't know. A lot of things we're going to find out later, I think, when information gets declassified.
Right? But this is another thing about violence and time. I think as we evolve, our mind becomes stronger. When Einstein, we were talking about earlier, was brilliant in his mind. And as we begin to use more of our mind, what small percentage of our brain are we using
very
right
small.
Now? Very tiny. Is it 8% or 10% or something?
Under 10%.
Yeah. So with think about what we're doing with our brain with 8%, optimistically, 8%.
Right.
What happens when we get to 50%, 70%, 80% of our brain? If we still are violent in our thoughts, if we don't overcome even the way we think violently, then in the future, I think we will also be able to create a lot of harm just through our thinking.
I agree with you. I think thoughts are very powerful.
It makes us sick, right? We can get sick just by thinking.
Right.
Hatred or anger can make us sick. Stress can make us sick.
Yes, we get dis-ease.
Disease,
right.
So until we can really control our mind more, we have to even watch how powerful we get.
I agree.
So time is running out. We have about 8 more minutes. No, I'm sorry. We have about 9 more minutes to talk.
4 more minutes.
How much more?
4
more minutes. Oh, my watch. See, my watch is running out. See, my watch is slow. And I
is
told
that
you
correct?
This. This gets me scared. My watch, my Tiffany watch is slowing down. I love it. Oh, perfect. I just made it. What time is it?
That's always my...
Does anyone really know what time it is?
Yes.
5 minutes, actually.
No, because that was another one. When I interviewed the guy from Chicago, he says, does anyone remember the song?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also,
not,
they have
know
a lot
what time
of time
it is.
Songs.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because we don't really know what time it is. Mm. It's like, well. But I used to not wear a watch, but then, yeah, time now. I got to... Maybe I'll take it off. Maybe I'll stop wearing
you know,
my watch.
I felt very liberated when I took off my watch.
Did you?
Because I used
and
to
did
be
you get to places on time without your watch?
It was probably less important to me at the time, although now it is, again, important to me.
At the time. But you can use your phone now.
Yes, if you...
So you don't need to, really.
If you want to pull out your phone and turn it on, yes.
Yeah.
It's just a little harder. But you're right in a way that everybody's... Almost everybody has a phone, a clock on them.
Yeah.
A watch.
We do, in some form.
So we have all become more time-dependent, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you ever noticed that when we're rushing, it seems like we don't have enough time, that we still get there usually at the same time, depending on whether we're stressed and thinking about that we're rushing or not? I mean, I love it when I was driving back from a wedding the other day, and I was going down the highway, and there was this beautiful yellow Ferrari. I mean, gorgeous. I'm sorry, I love Ferraris. Beautiful yellow Ferrari, and went speeding past. But for a Ferrari, I imagine... relatively, going 55 miles an hour is very slow, right? Because a Ferrari could go so fast that you probably have to really pull the reins back on that horse because, I mean, you have to really pull back on a Ferrari. I was thinking that car would just love to go. I mean, they're built for speed, right?
Yeah.
But what's the point in having a fast car when you have a speed limit of 45 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour on Pilani Highway?
Yes.
And so there you're always going, oh, car wants to go faster. No, I can't go faster. No, car wants to go faster. I want to go faster because it's a fast car. No, I can't go faster because it's past the speed limit, right?
It's kind of really a waste of money to have a Ferrari on map.
But for status, everyone was looking at the car.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a watch. I mean, it's like, if you got that right, you know. But, I mean, even with the car going faster, by the time we got down to a couple of signals down the highway, it was still at the same signal.
Mm, yeah,
because,
right.
You know, right, you have the illusion of that you're, and when people are in a hurry, they have the illusion. Have you ever seen people get up behind you in a car and want you to just speed
up? Absolutely, and then we both stand at the red light.
Right, at the same time, even after they've passed six or seven people, and they're still at the same.
Right. In my days where I was not sticking to all the laws, which I believe in now, I had a nice BMW in California, and
I did too.
I drove 145 miles an hour. That's my top
speed.
But
on the Autobahn, I have.
Oh, that's no speed limit on the Autobahn.
Yeah, that's a fun place. Now, there you should have a Ferrari or
there it's worth it.
Yes, there it's worth it.
Since Gary
is... Are we out of time?
No, 2 minutes.
Yeah, there's 2 minutes left, which is why I'm going to read the closing statement, which is, I'm Ori Kopelman with my co-host Cindy Paulus, hoping Mauitopia on Maui will be created in the perfect time. Hopefully in my lifetime.
I hope that. I'll second that. We have to have something to head towards.
Yes.
And hopefully it will happen. And even, you know what, even the small bits of it. And I'm seeing in just the 24 years I've been here in Maui, I mean, look at how things have changed. I mean, things are changing, and I think they are. I think everyone agrees things are changing for the better, except for the people who don't like the way things are changing. And they are thinking things are changing for the worse.
There
right?
you go to the relative, right?
So it depends who's in control.
But the aloha spirit, I think, is a big factor in making Mauitopia be a possibility. And it will, in fact, happen, I believe, in my lifetime. I'm still pretty young. Well, I'm not that young anymore.
It doesn't hurt to have a nice positive attitude.
That is exactly the point.
And a lot of aloha.
Yes.
And the presence. That's presence of the ha.
Ha, the
life
breath.
Force. Yes.
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 It's a very special thing we have here in Maui, and hopefully that's why I believe it is the best place on the planet to create Mauitopia.
We're going to go out with some beautiful Maui man music. Here we go. Aloha till next time.
I was drawn to a place in the sun where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui Land, where the upcountry flies to the sea and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand, Maui Land. Maui man, feel the rain, Maui man. He's a boy with a sun.
Island News headlines, I'm Gary Forsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. Kihei's long-awaited public high school could be named after Patsy Mink. The late congresswoman and Maui native who